From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The Washington Department of Transportation is in charge of building the deep bore tunnel under Seattle's downtown. They're rebuilding the 520 bridge. They're working on the construction of a new I-5 bridge across the Columbia River. That's just the mega projects. Day to day, WashDOT maintains 20,000 miles of highway, 3,500 bridges, and runs the Washington Ferry System, the nation's largest. It employs more than 6,800 full-time workers, engineers, captains, environmental specialists, and planners. And the new Secretary of Transportation is Lynn Peterson. Before becoming Washington's Secretary of Transportation, Lynn Peterson was a transportation policy advisor to Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber. She's former chair of the Clackamas County Commission. She was a strategic planning manager for TriMet, which you might know as Portland's regional transportation agency. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
Your resume says you're a recovering highway engineer. What's that mean?
Yes, I actually started off my career with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation as a highway and construction engineer, design and construction, and spent summers out in the field inspecting construction sites and in the winter then working on the design of projects, and then worked in traffic control at the department as well. What I mean by recovering is that as I proceeded throughout my career, I started to ask more and more questions about how transportation can be a tool to building safe and healthy communities. And it means really, how do you use that public asset, that right-of-way that we've set aside that makes up a significant portion of our communities for everybody?
What would you say are the biggest transportation challenges here in Washington State as you take this job? It'd have to be a short list. I realize this could be an hour of discussion, but where do you place at the top of that list?
Right now, I think making sure that we deliver the mega projects on time and as close to budget as we possibly can. On budget would be great, but we're going to need to deliver those projects, and that is a significant part of what the department is about. The rest of it is the maintenance of the existing system, which obviously all over the country is in a state of disrepair. All of the infrastructure in the United States is in this deficit of in need of repair. And as the federal role tends to decline, whether it's water, sewer, or transportation, it means the states and the local governments have to start to look at how they're going to pay for these assets. And there are significant assets out there.
Secretary of Transportation Lynn Peterson, you've talked about reviewing these mega projects, the tunnel under downtown Seattle, the 520 bridge, the proposal not yet launched to bank a new bridge across the Columbia River between Vancouver and Portland. Why do we need to review them? Have they not been reviewed to death? I mean, at this point, what is there left to review?
So I think to clarify, we're not actually reviewing the mega projects.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're looking prospectively based on the lessons learned, which we already know about. What do we need to do internally to make sure that we are documenting and doing the best decision-making we can around risk management? With the lessons that we've learned from the other mega projects, we clearly need to fill some gaps in how we do that so that we don't have internal design errors. We also need to think about how we contract. So we're bringing on experts, more than one, to make sure that we can use the best practices that are available to us from across the world on how we do mega projects and how those decisions are made.
Your predecessor was sitting there not that long ago, and I asked her about one project design issue having to do with the pontoons for the 520 bridge. Major miscalculation, the state accepted blame, and it's going to cost tens of millions of dollars more for that project. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Correct. Not only was that an issue of how we internally decide what the right design is going to be, but it was a decision on the contract as well and who accepted the risk.
And the risk was in the wrong place in that case, you think?
Well, I think it yes and no. Obviously, we took on the risk, and we took on that risk knowing that something like this could happen. But what we didn't do is look at how to manage that risk.
You know, I keep thinking of Buddy Yates during this program. I don't know if you heard, but in the first part of the show, Derek Wong told the story of this blind commuter who has to ride buses and trains every single day. And one of the things he's really concerned about is what's going to happen at Pierce County Transit. They're going to cut back on their services even further. Now, you are the State Department of Transportation. We're talking about Pierce County. There's also, of course, Metro Transit in our area. And they are all faced with these budget issues. Is this kind of their problem? Is there anything that the State Department of Transportation can do to alleviate these issues for these local transit agencies?
What I would start by saying is the philosophy I live by is that we have a transportation system and we need to maximize that system and we need to make sure we maintain every part of the system, because if one part of the system doesn't work, the rest of it breaks down. So if the highway breaks down, the transit is going to take more. They're going to have to meet a higher demand. If the transit system starts to break down, the highway is going to have to take more of a demand, and we don't have the capacity to deal with either of those, right? We need to maximize all of that. So if there is a way going forward that we can be a better partner or continue the partnerships that we've already set up, which are numerous, but if we can expand so that transit benefits, that's great. But in terms of operation and maintenance, those folks do have their funding sources. And being supportive of them as they move forward in a total transportation package, I think that that's part and parcel of what WSDOT needs to be doing.
You know, it's great to have local agencies closer to the people, but some would argue we got too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to transit. We've got various different agencies doing various different things in the state there. In fact, I believe a previous governor suggested more centralization of transit in our system. Do you think governance is impeding us from doing the best job we can because governance is too fractured among too many different places?
You know, I think you have to look at the outcomes. And I think Seattle and the state of Washington are really good at measuring and finding ways to see if they're working towards the goals that they want to work towards in terms of building livable communities and making sure freight can get to where it needs to go. So I would say we need to look at the outcomes. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way when you look at other areas around around the nation. They have really started out as small local transit agencies that have then grown into regional and some sort of agreement between them. The Bay Area, Seattle, obviously, any place out on the East Coast. What we found in the Portland region is we started regional, and now there are discussions about how to go local.
Really?
So, you know, however you put it, people want control over their portion of the system that gets them to the community center, that gets them to City Hall, that gets them to shopping, that gets them to medical, which may not be the same as a commute route, right? We have a lot of different markets. And how do you serve those markets and how do people feel like they have control over the decision making of how their money is spent?
That's so interesting. I mean, TriMet, I lived in Portland for 7 years. That's a multi-county agency. And here we've got the separate county agencies looking at transit. And now they're thinking of maybe devolving that to more local control?
There's a certain conversation that's just begun about how do you take a portion of the revenue and allow the locals to work together, not every single city, not all 25 cities, but how would you take sub areas and have them work on local transit issues?
The governor just announced his budget proposal like at 11 a.m. this morning. What are the highlights for your department, transportation?
Well, you know, the transportation budget will be coming out later. So I think making sure from our standpoint that the general fund departments are definitely functional and we can work with them in several different ways, whether it be Health and Human Services on getting folks to where they need to go. But really, we're still in the middle of negotiations between the House and Senate on transportation package.
Yeah, there are those negotiations. In fact, there's a proposal to increase the gas tax to pay for roads in the legislature. When you look at your needs, do you think that proposal is the right way for the legislature to go? Do you need that additional gas tax to pay for what you need to do?
Well, I think from conversations that we're hearing, a lot of our priorities would be met in terms of fix it first, maintain what we have, finish what we've started with the mega projects, start investing for the future, but also exploring new ways to fund transit, bike and ped, and ferries. So I think
if the gas tax is approved.
If the package.
Yeah, which includes a gas tax increase. Mm-hmm. How big is the backlog of highway repairs here? I've heard some scary stories about it. I mean, not necessarily in dollars, but is it a very serious backlog?
You know, from what I've learned, 15 days on the job, we're actually in good condition on the WSDOT side of things, but we will start to fall off the cliff if we don't continue to work on maintenance and preservation. So industry standard is 90% fair or better condition, and we are very high in that. But we will slide very quickly, which will then be more costly to come back up if we don't continue to invest in maintenance and preservation. Cities and counties, I think, are in worse shape for a much longer period of time, and they're going to have a longer time to come back out if we don't invest in them as well.
Does the transportation package that we're looking at in the legislature now get us ahead, or is it just a maintenance in terms of the needs to keep these roads together? Because you're right, I've read often, you know, you let the roads go down too far and you've got a major expense. You have to rebuild them rather than just repair them.
You're not putting an overlay on. You're actually having to rebuild the road and take everything up to the base, down to the gravel.
Right. Well, is this approval of this package going to get us ahead on that?
I would say it's a down payment for the future.
Okay.
I think the governor and obviously we believe that we need to look at all of our transportation modes and how they're funded and find a way to really stabilize funding and even grow it, because this is a growing state.
You work for a governor who's kind of one of his signature issues is reducing carbon emissions to avert global climate change. Has he enlisted you for the transportation department with that in mind? Do you see that as part of your mission?
I think for the future, energy conservation, finding ways to reduce costs for businesses and households based on their energy costs is definitely part of that future. Emissions reduction just comes along with that. So any way that we can provide that livability and reduce costs, yeah, we're going to be looking at ways to do that.
One of the big dilemmas, and you alluded to it earlier, is that highways primarily are funded by a gas tax. But people are driving less. They're driving hybrid cars, in some cases electric cars, so they're not paying as much gas taxes as they used
to. I would have to raise my hand to one of those. I'm an owner of a Leaf.
Which is good in one way.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's not helping you as the Secretary of Transportation when you've got to repair those roads that are going to hell in a handcart. So how does that dilemma get resolved?
Well, there's a national conversation about how the gas tax used to be a user fee when the efficiency really was closer to the amount of miles you drove. So you were actually paying for what you used. And actually, Oregon and the West Coast were the first ones to actually step into the gas tax arena. So I think it's only appropriate that the West Coast states, again, are leading the way in terms of looking at other tools to get back to a user fee.
Give me an example of how that might be done.
Well, the state of Washington certainly has moved forward on tolls, tolling for specific projects. But if you look at the entire system, one of the ways that the Washington Transportation Commission is studying is whether vehicle miles traveled would help.
The State Transportation Commission is looking at raising some of the tolls up a little bit higher to pay for some of the commitments on bridges that have been built. We have a state senator who says that's not their job. That's up to the state legislature to do. In fact, she's got a opinion on that says she's right about it. Where are we at on that? Are these tolls going to have to go to the legislature to approve? Is the legislature going to have to approve higher tolls?
You know, for now, I think we're going to go on the assumption that the commission is going to need to continue down the road that they've been told until we hear otherwise with a specific opinion.
Secretary, you mentioned you have a Leaf, and there's a bill in the legislature to charge you, I guess, an additional $25 a year to drive that Leaf in order to go to help pay for highways. And I think there's another fee of $100 that's being proposed in order to assess hybrid drivers a bit more money to help pay for roads. That's kind of a push-pill thing when it comes to, obviously, it's good for reducing carbon emissions, and we've had heated discussions on this show for people who say you should not be charging people for this. What do you think as the transportation commissioner? Should there be a charge for these folks who are riding on the roads but not paying the gas tax to pay for the maintenance of those roads?
You know, you're right. It's a catch-22 right now. As we try to roll out the new technology, the cost is higher for these manufacturers to design and build these cars because these components are not being purchased in vast quantities like an internal combustion engine. So as the cost of those automobiles come down because there's more of them being demanded out in the market, I think we're going to be able to see how we can have those folks that still do have an impact to the road, even though it has less impact to the environment, pay their fair share. And so I think this is it's a slow ramp up in both. We need to have the incentives, but we also need to make sure that everybody's paying their fair share.
Is high speed rail on your radar at all in when it comes to Washington State?
So this is definitely something that I worked on in Oregon. Governor Kitzhaber had task force that was looking at high-speed rail from Portland to Eugene, which is a continuation of the BC all the way down to Eugene, Oregon. So yes, it's on my radar. It's a pretty important thing for the future of our nation and being able to move passengers long distance as efficiently as possible and build communities and provide economic development for this entire part of the West Coast.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about ferries, the Washington State ferry system, the largest in the nation. You're in charge of that. And there's a move in the legislature to allow the state ferry system to buy those ferries from out-of-state shipbuilders rather than in-state shipbuilders. In fact, there was an audit showing that one of the ferries that the state purchased could have been purchased, a similar one was made for Massachusetts that cost tens of millions of dollars less. So the suspicion that we're overspending because we're helping out state companies, that's also good. That gives people jobs. What's your take on that?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's a balance, right? And you always want to try and go as local as you possibly can in order to provide jobs and employment for those within the state of Washington, especially when you're using Washington taxpayer money. But if we can get a significantly cheaper product somewhere else, at least we should be looking at that and knowingly go into a decision either way.
So it sounds like you might support the move to allow you to purchase those ferries from out of state rather than
in-state? I think it's a good conversation to have at this point about knowing the alternatives.
Okay. And you're not saying whether you support it or not?
I would need to look at the audit.
Okay.
Specifically, I have not been able to read that in the first 15 days.
You're coming from Oregon, a state known for its transportation leadership, to Washington State. What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge, or what have you already noticed as the biggest difference in dealing with a different state system?
That's a good question. I'd say that we have a challenge in being able to fund the mega projects that have already been started, finish those and start new ones, as well as maintain and preserve. And I'd say in Oregon, that is definitely a conversation, but not at the same scale.
The Washington State Transportation Commission came out with a report, I think, a couple of years ago, and they were saying it's going to take another $175 to $200 billion over the next 20 years to try to meet our transportation needs. I don't know how much you've burrowed into the figures or looked at that report. Do you have any idea whether that's a reasonable figure to look at?
Well, those numbers sound scary.
Yeah.
But when you think about the assets that we have and the amount of money that's already been put into those assets for the last four or five generations is probably many, many, many times that. Mm-hmm. So really, each generation needs to look at the amount that they're going to have to, not only maintain these assets, but also expand them to deal with our expanding economy.
Lynn Peterson, she's Washington's Secretary of Transportation. By the way, did you and Kevin Quigley from DSHS, did you carpool up here today from Olympia?
No, I actually took the Sounder up from Tacoma.
Thank you so much for coming by. We hope to invite you back again to talk more about these issues, which aren't going away anytime soon. Our program, produced by David High with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Hannah Byrne and Amber Cortez. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.